And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this very special Election Day 2016 edition of the Hagmann and Hagmann Report. We are actually combining forces with CanadaFreePress.com. I believe one of the only radio programs or one of the only media to do so in the United States, where we're actually getting the information, the benefit of our Canadian counterparts and having them comment, provide information, analysis as well into what we're seeing. Why? Because perspectives are different there. The information is filtered different. And of course, Judy McLeod, Arthur Weinrib, two people, of course, who've got their fingers on the pulse of American politics. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us ahead of time for the hour that preceded this on YouTube Live. This is an extended coverage, of course. We are having a six-hour program tonight, double our normal 3 hours. And, of course, this is now, if you're just tuning in now, perhaps you didn't realize it, but actually we're going to have two additional hours in overdrive on YouTube Live that follows our normal programming. And, of course, I want to just let everyone know, folks, normally we broadcast live each and every weeknight, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Global Star Radio Network. That's the place to be. And also simulcast on Blog Talk Radio. We want to thank them as well. They're a terrific outfit, by the way. And you can catch all of our live and archive programs on Global Star Radio, as well as BTR and YouTube as well. Until you can't, right? It depends on what's in the cards, right? Folks, we've got two different websites, Hagmann Report. That's for news, information, analysis, and Hagmann and Hagmann.com. Now, of course, I've been very active. Suddenly, there's been proof of life. I've been very active on my own social networking feeds, Douglas Hagmann on Facebook, and also at Hagmann PI on Twitter. My daughter is actually giving me a tutorial to show me how to do this social networking stuff. It's kind of interesting. I do want to thank you for tuning in to this broadcast tonight. You could be, and you may have other programs in the background. I get that. That's a it's a good thing to do. We will be giving you election updates throughout the evening. And of course, it's interesting how this is playing out. And I believe this is regardless, as I said at the beginning of the, first hour unscheduled or first hour that's, was not part of this, that, we are in the fight for the soul and for the heart of America. We are recovering from 8 years of the most divisive man agenda entities, groups that this country has seen in modern history. And I know if you are a Democratic National Socialist or a progressive, some people call them Democrats, you would perhaps disagree with that. Or you might even shift the blame on the conservative right. Well, let me tell you something. Here it is, Election Day 2016, and isn't it something when all of the so-called conspiracy theories, the right-wing nutcases, you know, got to put the tinfoil on. Isn't it interesting that we're seeing all of this being revealed? It's biblical in nature. Portions of tonight's broadcast brought to you by Omaha Steaks. Folks, have you gone to Omaha Steaks? They have got a very special package for you. Go to omahasteaks.com and in the search bar, enter our promo code HH. That stands for Hagmann and Hagmann. And there, take advantage of the specials that they have for you, our listeners. Now, we're going to start this segment of the show off with a gentleman who's no stranger to radio He's a prolific author, and he's in battle. He's in battle. I've seen it. He's in battle for the hearts and minds of America. His name's Greg Jackson. Two G's. Greg, two G's, Jackson.com. Greg Jackson, welcome to the show, brother.
Well, it's always fun, Doug, being on the greatest show in the world. And that's not false flattery. I mean that. It's always an honor and a pleasure. And I have to be honest with you right now. Two things. A, I'm not stressed out in the least. Actually, three things. B, for a six-hour show, you better have had a couple of Ted's Purple Sticks. And C, I am walking my dog Gunner in Denver, and I'm more worried about my son, Jake Jackson, who's going to be running for president in 2032. At least John Robertson thinks so. I'm more worried about his hockey game tonight than I am about Donald Trump, because I do believe that Donald Trump, the human wrecking ball who's going to drain the swamp, will win. I'm about 99% sure in my spirit. What do you think, Doug?
Wow. Well, you know, you got
feeling
a real
good?
Clear...
You sound good. You feeling good? You feeling energetic?
You know, I am. But you know what? It's this... But Greg, here's why I'm feeling good. It's not because of Donald Trump, although that helps. I'm feeling good because I have seen, I believe, the goodness in people, the revival, the potential for revival in people, because change is not going to come from Trump down or from Pence down, No, change and revival is going to come from the bottom up, from the people, from the listeners, from the people like us, just normal guys. Walking our dogs, having a family, engaging. This is where change is going to come from, because if these putrid individuals who want to pervert our ideology, our the country, our moral and spiritual fabric of the United States, if they think that they can win in a fight against Greg Jackson, in a fight against Doug and Joe Hagman, in a fight against Eric, the real tech Eric, they got another thing coming. To
well
you,
said. Sir. Yeah. Absolutely. And obviously we give all the glory, honor, and praise to the Lord, because we know that we wage not in the flesh, but in the spiritual realm, in the powers and principalities above. And we know that we can do nothing without the guidance and the wisdom of the Lord. He's the source of our strength. He's always been the secret source of America's strength for 300 years of American history, even preceding our founding. It's not rocket science.
Exactly. And I've looked at this election from a political vantage point. I've looked at it from a number of different ways. But, you know, it all comes down to one thing. It's all the spiritual. It's all the spirit. It's all it's within us that's really going to, it's really going to make a difference. And I believe in the American spirit. I believe that the Judeo-Christian ethic, the Judeo-Christian morality and spirituality is going to shine through in this 2016 election. I do believe that, but go ahead.
You know, if you think about it, I mean, how much lower can we get? By the way, is Joe there? I didn't want to not say hi to Joe, if he's there.
Oh, he's
Joe,
here.
If you're listening.
Hey,
Jackie,
Greg.
Joe, Eric the Tech, love you guys. Great to be on the show with you. Hey, listen, I was thinking about it today, just hitting a few balls, because that's what I do on election day. I want to just relax, so I hit a couple balls on the range today. Beautiful day here in Denver.
Anyone I know?
Can it?
Sorry.
That I was playing golf with? No, I wasn't.
No.
Wasn't playing. Oh. Anybody? I see what you mean.
Didn't land. Okay. I got it.
No, I got you, though. I got you, Doug. We've known each other long enough. I got you. Hey, but seriously, I was thinking to myself as I'm walking through the very posh Denver liberal neighborhood here in the Cherry Creek area. I was thinking to myself, could it get any worse than having a Muslim in a White House? Come on, let's face it. Barry Santoro, a.k.a. Barack Hussein Obama, is a Muslim. A homosexual Muslim at that, married to a transvestite, with a CIA director who is a converted Muslim, with Huma Abedin, Hillary Clinton's right-hand woman, who is a Muslim, and who did I forget? forget any Muslims that, I mean, we've been essentially taken over, captured operation, whatever you want to call it. We have been taken over in this country, and it's been an inside job, and we, the people, have been asleep. We allowed this to happen, and frankly, God, I don't think that there was a politician, even a Christian one at that, who had the gumption to do what needs to be done in this country, at least on a political level. And that's where I think Donald Trump comes into play. I mean, as much as I supported Mike Huckabee in the primaries, the bottom line is that Mike Huckabee is, I love the guy to death, but he would never have referred to Hillary Clinton as Crooked Hillary. He would never have said the type of things and help expose the type of things that Donald Trump, the human wrecking ball, has done. Now, is Donald Trump, you know, would I vote for him for, you know, altar boy or Sunday school teacher? No. I pray that the man gets saved. I know he's surrounded by many, many believers. And I do believe that God, and we've talked about this on your show ad nauseum over the past couple months with your phenomenal guests, that, you know, God uses people like Cyrus. He's used others that, you know, Samson, David, others that have been tremendously flawed. And to the best of my ability, Donald Trump hasn't murdered anybody. And, you know, David had, and I don't doubt for a minute that we will see David at the great banquet table when we spend eternity in heaven with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The bottom line is this, Doug. The bottom line is that if this doesn't wake people up spiritually to the fact that we really, I don't think we could get any lower than what I just described. And that if we do get a respite, and I believe in my spirit, Doug, I can't explain it, but I believe that the Lord is going to give us, he's merciful, and, you know, the Bible says that he wants no one to perish, and I believe that he is going to give this country a respite, a temporary abeyance of his judgment, and that's where Donald Trump comes in, and I believe that he is going to expose a lot of the spiritual wickedness in high places, and it's going to scare a lot of people. And hopefully it'll scare them into recognizing the fact that we're not fighting a fleshly, earthly battle. We're fighting a spiritual battle, and hopefully it'll start with Christian men in this country and will extend to the corporate body of believers of the Church of Jesus Christ. Because,
but you know what, Greg? Let me just interrupt here. We say this, the Christian body of men. What I've seen shames me. I mean, what I've seen from Christian men who say, you know, I just can't bring myself to vote for Trump. My goodness, they should be smacked up, in my view, smacked upside the head, metaphorically, or you know, because what choice? Given the cards we have been dealt in the real world, I'm not talking about theory, I'm talking about the real world here. And by the way, New Hampshire, it appears that Florida is going, leaning heavily toward Trump, as is New Hampshire, just to give you a little bit of, you know. But anyway.
Yeah, 58.4% Trump to 28.2% Clinton, about 1% reporting in New Hampshire. It looks like he has taken the, it's all about a 3-1 lead. New Hampshire, 52.5% Trump, 41% Clinton, 1% reporting. And I think Kentucky's been called. Trump, 65.6%. Hillary, 29.6. Indiana has been called for Trump also. 62 Trump, 33%.
Yeah, but these are early.
Right.
But okay, aside from that though, what about the Christian men, Greg? And I've seen you stand up, with grace.
You've been privy to a couple of emails.
Yes.
You've been privy to a couple of emails recently.
And believe me, some of those emails include household names that engage in this. But what do you make of the Christian men and women, but men in particular, the leadership, who don't get it?
Well, you and I have talked about, we've spoken about Trump and how God, I believe, is using Trump to expose many facets of society and culture and the heart of America. And it just doesn't extend to the the liberals, the liberal left, but also extends to the church itself. And I think, you know, that you've been privy to a couple of these emails where I've been taken to the woodshed because I'm supporting Donald Trump, who's supposedly a child killer. I don't know how anybody who's pledged to defund Planned Parenthood and put, you know, pro-life judges on the Supreme Court and who supports overturning Roe v. Wade could be a child killer. But that's, I think, very revealing of a pharisaical spirit within the church. And so, you know, on the left, they say, that Trump is vulgar, but they, of course, didn't have a problem with Bill Clinton taking his pants down and, doing all sorts of unspeakable things to interns. And of course, it's not reported about all of the trips to Epstein's island, nor is any of the WikiLeaks information about drinking blood and child sacrifice and any of these demonic things that apparently Podesta and the Clintons take part in. But the left goes after, you know, Donald Trump because he said some vulgar things in the past, locker room talk. And then so you have that on the left, which is blatant hypocrisy. And then on the right, certain factions on principle are saying we're going to vote for a third party candidate or not vote at all. And my belief on that, Doug, is that, listen, first of all, Daniel chapter 2 and Romans chapter 13 both acknowledge the fact that God chooses our leaders. So whatever the outcome of this election is, God will have allowed it. Just like he allowed Barack Hussein Obama to become president in 2008 and 2012. And so at the end of the day, Doug, I do believe that if God allows Donald Trump to become president of this country, he will do it to give us time so that hopefully the church can get its act together enough to, because look, I'm not voting for Donald Trump. Although there's a lot that I respect about him, and I'll be honest with you, Doug, the more I hear the guy talk, the more I like him.
Whoa, wait. What did you just say? Whoa. I can't let this go.
Did you just say
I'm not voting for Donald Trump?
No, I said I am not voting for Trump as much as I'm voting for what he represents.
I gotcha. Okay.
And this is what you've been. I voted for Donald Trump 2 weeks ago. So did my wife, and so did my 93-year-old neighbor, who I had to fill out her ballot for. But she signed it, Miss Dorothy. We love her. But the long and short of it is, Doug, that what I've recognized is that, you know, I have a chapter in my book, The Lesser of Two Evils is Still Evil, and I've been accused of people of violating that by voting for Donald Trump. My argument has been is all along is that Hillary Clinton is a satanic coven witch who drinks blood, apparently, and who supports child murder and apparently is engaged in pedophilia, although that's being covered up. That is demonic. That is evil. Donald Trump, I wouldn't consider to be evil. Is he a sinner? Yes. I was before I was saved, forgiven of my sins, and I pray that Donald Trump will get saved. He's not already. I don't know the state of the condition of Donald Trump's heart, so it's unfair for me to say. But I will say that Donald Trump certainly represents the core biblical values that I believe in, and therefore, I mean, look, how can you say that he's evil? Carnal, yes. Evil, no. And I think it's a stretch for when Christians, Doug, I think you would agree, and Joe say, oh, both of them are terrible. I'm not voting for either one of them. Well, that shows me that you don't have a lot of biblical discernment. It shows me that you're spiritually immature. To put those two in the same category, I find to be offensive. Donald Trump is carnal. He's not evil. Hillary Clinton is a satanic witch. And if you vote for Hillary Clinton, I fear for your soul, because it's showing the fruit of somebody whose heart is so hardened that you can't acknowledge, because it's been out there, Doug. People can't say that they don't know about Hillary Clinton, what she stands for, what she's been involved in. I know that a lot of it is not exposed in the mainstream media, but people know, Doug. People know. That's why I believe she's going to lose in a landslide tonight. What say you?
I hope you're right. Donald Trump.
What do you think, Joe?
In a landslide. You know, one thing that really bothers me about this is the media, because they have been the gatekeepers for the evil, that has allowed the evil to continue, that has allowed the evil to expand, and has not even attempted to reveal it in any way. Instead, they have covered it up every step of the way. They are the establishment media, and as Greg Hunter said yesterday, there is no real investigative journalism left in the mainstream media. It is completely in the alternative media. And the alternative media and many of their personalities have a fantastic ability to do with journalism and journalism that rivals, you know, some of the best journalists that we've seen in history.
But by the way, Joe and Greg, can you imagine a Trump victory, what the press pool at the White House is going to look like?
Yeah, let me just say this, Joe, that you're exactly right. And hopefully, you know, you had Greg Hunter talking about, I think, the stock price of the Washington Post and other mainstream establishment media. I mean, the New York Times revenue, I think, is down almost, you know, close to like 80% drain in revenues. I mean, these are fledgling old media organizations that are going to be replaced by the likes of True News and the Hagman and Hagman Report, which you guys are already dwarfing MSNBC, all of their programming combined. So I think what you're seeing is a radical shift right now. But here's my prayer, guys. My prayer is that if Donald Trump wins tonight, that the church, the body of Jesus Christ, is eternally grateful to the Lord, and that we recognize that we were on the precipice, and that God is the secret source of our strength and our salvation, and that we start acting like the church. You know, people will say, well, you know, Donald Trump, he doesn't have anything on his website about judicial supremacy or marriage or the sanctity of human life. Well, that may be true. But here's my appeal to those who doubt that he's going to lead on any of those issues, which, listen, if we don't end the slaughter of the innocent, the silent genocide, which has taken the lives of 60 million babies since Roe versus Wade in this country, then our country has no hope. There's not going to be, it doesn't matter. We could put border fences up that are 1,000 feet high, and it will not stop it, because unless the Lord build it, the people labor in vain. And so what my hope is that those surrounding Trump in the beginning of his administration, and by the way, he seems a lot more coachable and teachable and receptive than a lot of Christians I know, by the way. And I think Donald Trump, if it were presented to him, the devastation that Roe versus Wade has wrought, and then it doesn't matter what size the baby is in the mother's womb, that we have to end the abortion holocaust, and that he can do it. You've seen some of those text messages. You've seen some of those emails. And I'll just throw one name out, Mike Huckabee. I texted him the other night and said, Mike, you have Donald Trump's ear. Wouldn't it be something if you help educate him on judicial supremacy, which is the specious notion that courts make law and that the other two branches have to enforce those illegitimate court opinions as if they were de facto law? What if you were to bring it to Donald Trump's attention and help educate him that courts don't make law, and that Roe versus Wade and Obergefell and any of these illegitimate, unconstitutional court opinions are not the law of the land? And what if you told Donald Trump and shared with him, presented to him the opportunity that after 60 years of swallowing the lie that Roe versus Wade is the law of the land, that a light bulb went off and he recognized that Roe should have been rejected and ignored from the very beginning in 1973, and that Donald Trump, the human wrecking ball, could be the one who ends the abortion holocaust in America and restores and renews and reestablishes and reasserts the right to life for all innocent human persons, from conception to natural death, the most fundamental right that any human being possesses. Can you imagine that? I believe there's an opportunity for that, Doug. The question is, will the church get in the game and surround Donald Trump and other elected leaders to make that happen? Or will we just sit idly by and play church? That's the question.
And that is the question. Greg Jackson, 30 seconds. Go.
All right. The Bible says, and I want to leave your listeners with some hope and encouragement. People are feeling defeated. They're feeling fatigued. And So I know I am. I have been for quite a while, but I see there's light at the end of the tunnel, folks. There is light at the end of the tunnel. If you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you know that what the Bible says, and I'm just going to attempt to read this in the dark, but 2 Corinthians 4, but we have the treasure in jars of clay to show that all surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death. Sorry, I'm going in the background. And that's what listeners need to be reminded of.
Absolutely.
Folks, if you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you already have the victory. And if you're not, there's nothing more important than receiving Him as your Lord and Savior and becoming born again.
Thank you, Greg. Got to cut you off right there.
Love you guys. Love you guys.
Give our best to Gunner. God bless you, Brother Rimber. Right back. Stay right where you're at, folks. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this very special Election Day 2016 edition of the Hagmann and Hagmann Report. This is a joint program between and with CanadaFreePress.com, that's CanadaFreePress.com, and the Hagmann and Hagmann Report. We've joined up, we've teamed up to bring you the coverage from North America, delivering you the news, the election news, well, all throughout Canada, United States, Central South America, all the way to Europe. And of course, we've got right now somewhere around 100 countries tuned in to this broadcast. And I want to say thank you to the Global Star Radio Network, and thank you to BTR as well. I just got a news flash here that I need to make this very clear. This according to the Secret Service Directorate to the Clinton Detail, quietly remove all ashtrays, all bric-a-brac, and lamps from the rooms accessible to Hillary Rodham Clinton should things take an ugly turn. I don't know what that means.
Interesting. You just brought an interesting thought in my mind. If she loses, will we ever see her again? Aside maybe one speech?
Well, I'm sure if you go to a Beyonce or a Jay-Z concert, maybe they... I don't know.
I mean, I'm just asking because we've read the story, and I don't want to take away from our guests, but we know her temperament is just insane. She's insane behind the camera.
Yes. Now, folks, I just want to caution everyone, and then we're going to go to the guests. I'm going to toss it back to you, but folks, do not fall for this political football theater. Oh, they're up by one, they're up by two, down by one, down. Oh, it looks good for the... Wait. Because they're playing games. Trust me, they're playing games. That's all I want to say. Yeah, it looks good for Florida. It looks bad for Florida. Yeah. We have with us, go ahead, John.
John Robertson, he is our Hollywood insider. He has done a number of fantastic things. He spoke at the Hear the Watchman conference in Dallas, where we met him again for, I think, the second time. Spent a lot of time with him. I had fun. He's been working behind the scenes with the Hagmann and Hagmann Report, and he's been doing a fantastic job of just helping us with some logistical things, getting great guests on that he has contacted or has relationships with that have brought a lot to this show. And we just want to thank him for that before we move further. But, John, welcome to the Hagman & Hagman Report. It's been a while since you've been on air, even though we talked every day.
Well, Joe, Doug, greetings and God's blessings upon you and your families, and certainly all of the Hagman & Hagman listeners who have chosen to join us on this crucial and historical night, really at the crossroads of our nation's history. I also would be remiss if I didn't just give a very special thank you to Canada Free Press and Judy McLeod, who does an amazing job over there, for supporting the show tonight, and of course Todd at Global Star. What a great crew of people, don't you think?
You know, Steve Quayle says that God does, and the folks, this applies to you as well. God brings people into our lives. He also takes them out of our lives when necessary, but he brings them into our lives, and that's so true. So we have, I'm just so blessed. I feel so blessed to know you and others like you and other friends and Canada Free Press and most importantly, the listeners, the people we hear from by mail, email, by phone sometimes, and it's just fantastic. So, but brother, thank you for being there. You're doing some just tremendous work, and I just thank you. Just want to say
thank you. Well, Doug, it is not only my pleasure, but it is an honor to work really on a daily basis with Joe and yourself, with JD, with Eric, and the entire crew that makes the Hagman Report happen. And I know we're limited on time this evening, so with your permission, I'm going to jump right in.
Do it, sure. Rock.
Okay, so here's what I want to provide the listeners for the brief time that I can visit with you this evening. I'm going to talk just briefly about past elections. We're going to talk about the spiritual mission ahead of us. We're going to have a special exhortation to our members of the armed forces and law enforcement across the country. I thought it would be appropriate to share some quotes I heard throughout the day today up here in Washington State. So I've got a quote from my dentist, and I've also got a quote from the county sheriff. We'll take a look at the economic impact of either a Clinton or Trump presidency. We'll talk a little bit about depression and anxiety that I know has plagued so many of the Hagman listeners. And then lastly, I'll wrap up my my chat with you gentlemen here this evening, offering a couple of realistic solutions. So that being said, just to give the Hagman listeners an idea, most of you have blessed me with your acquaintance. You've blessed me with your time when I've told all of these stories about Hollywood, the Luciferian agenda, and what is going on in the West Coast epicenter of mass media. And I am not saying this by in any way, shape, or form as a I told you so or a victory lap or anything, because the subject matter is so serious and so macabre. I just want to remind listeners that last June, when I did my first full Hagman report, the hardest thing for me to do, and Doug and Joe, you know this because we talked about it offline a lot, the hardest thing to do was to talk about the abuse of children, the pedophilia, the sexual abuse, the blackmail that goes on with young up-and-coming stars, etc. And I want to make very clear to the listeners this evening that the Podesta emails and what the bravery of Julian Assange and his crew at WikiLeaks provided us is nothing short of confirmation of many of those things that I shared with listeners a year and a half ago. Why do we talk about these things? For this simple reason, folks. There is a global power elite, and they believe that they know what is best for you. And I would encourage every listener this evening in your personal prayer life to simply place this before the Lord. Will we be ruled over by those who would like to have sex with children? Will we be ruled over those who are willing to sacrifice innocent lives to statues and to images of Moloch so that their film is successful or so that their presidential candidacy is successful? Or or shall we be ruled by a man who is errant in his actions and certainly a sinner at times, as am I? But the question, folks, after this evening, are we going into the book of Daniel with a Cyrus moment, or are we headed to the book of Lamentations? You know, it reminds me quickly, in 2004, the night of the election, Bush, Kerry, I was in Washington, D.C. I was at a very posh hotel in Georgetown. It was sort of one of those kind of parties. This is before I really was back with my full faith walk. my girlfriend and I at the time were at an epicenter of what was going on in D.C. that night. And I don't think we left that party till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Interestingly, we woke up the next morning. We had plans to visit Arlington Cemetery. For those of you who have never been to Arlington, it is one of the most sobering, and I choose that word specifically for this story, it is one of the most sobering and thought-provoking places you can possibly visit as a citizen of this country. And I specifically remember, Doug and Joe, looking at the eternal flame of John Kennedy, and Robert Kennedy's grave is there as well. But I remember walking past row upon row upon row of headstones of brave men and women who have fallen for our country, going all the way back to the beginning of our country's history. And it kept occurring to me over and over as the fog lifted that morning. I kept thinking to myself, any minute we're going to find out how much more American blood is to be shed in the Middle East. And that was in 2004. Quickly, 2008, I spoke to Sergeant Tim earlier today, and he just asked me to mention this to the Hagman listeners. He felt this was important, and you know how much all of us at the Hagman and Hagman Report support our men and women in uniform. And so Sergeant Tim wanted me to remind listeners that during the 2008 election, McCain-Obama, he was stationed in Germany. At the time, he was not on the mission. He was awaiting his orders in Germany. And he specifically remembers listening to Armed Forces Radio that evening as the returns came in. And the reporter on Armed Forces Radio made it very clear to our men and women in uniform at Ramstein Air Force Base in Germany. It's one of the biggest bases in the world. Your vote did not get counted, and your vote does not count. Doug, Joe, Sergeant Tim just wanted to make very certain that the Hagman listeners understood that.
Okay.
Lastly, 2012, when Romney ran against Obama, I was on the back lot at Warner Brothers. We were shooting at night. I was on Pretty Little Liars. I was hanging out with the electricians over by their trailer. There were five or six of us conservatives on a crew of 200. And there was a given moment, it was in the middle of our lunch hour, where the radios blew up. Cheers went up all over the place, specifically from set, and we knew at that given moment that they had called it for Obama. Interestingly, Doug and Joe, it was only 24 months later that the same people that voted for Barack Obama in Hollywood would be the recipients of a $330 million corporate welfare package that literally saved Hollywood. Folks, I want to make this clear. Hollywood, which was insulated completely economically during the Great Depression, has been in deep trouble for some time. And without a $330 million tax break from the state of California, a state that is completely broke, I might add, feature film was leaving Hollywood to the extent where I remember working on CSI Cyber, and there wasn't a single major feature film in production in town at that time. Lastly, I want to remind Hagman listeners, another quick note on Hollywood. The Chinese are buying up Hollywood as quickly as they possibly can. I wanted to talk, Doug and Joe, just quickly about the spiritual implications of what's going on here in our country. And, you know, I want to remind everyone listening that whether we have an incredible victory tonight for liberty and what I would consider a good start point for our movement and our ideology, or whether we suffer with the horrific news of a president-elect Clinton. Whether it's Clinton or Trump, brothers and sisters, hear me. It does not change God's plan for your life one iota. He knew you before you were born. He knows the number of hairs on your head, and he has a specific plan for everybody listening to me tonight. So I want to remind the men listening, you are the high priest of your home. Your children, regardless of whether it's President-elect Trump or President-elect Clinton, your children still look up to you. They still believe in you, and they require that you place food on the table. The lawn's still going to have to be mowed. The oil's still got to be changed. And men, take this opportunity to tell your wives how much you love them, how much they mean to you, there's no way you could do this without them. It's time to stand up and be men, and if we take a hard one on the chin tonight, if we go down bloody on the canvas, and it's going to be President-elect fourth-degree coven witch Clinton, we still have to be men. We need to be supportive [S2] Yep. [S1] Of those who love us and those who depend on us, and I would be remiss if I didn't take this moment to, again, thank both Doug's wife, Joe's wife, Jackie and Eric. This Hagmann and Hagmann report is a family affair, listeners, and please understand that there are very strong, very flexible people that back up the voices you hear on this show, and without those voices, there would be no show.
Amen to that, John, and I just want to kind of put an exclamation point on what you said. I would ask that everyone listening to this broadcast, American, Canadian, if you're Irish or from Ireland, it doesn't matter where you're at, stop, say a prayer tonight for this nation, for America to survive evil. This evil that has been so pervasive inside the Beltway needs to be stopped right now, right here, tonight. And look, a Trump victory is not going to stop everything, but it'll put a speed bump, or it'll go a long way toward making that happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's gonna bring the people in charges of power and their underlings to move fast and move quick. I mean, they're not going to let him rest, and they're going to make it as difficult as possible for him to carry out his presidency if everything is true that he is a real outsider, the way that the media and establishment has shown him to be in their own reporting. And, you know, they're going to throw everything but the kitchen sink at this guy. And as you said yesterday and you just reiterated today, we cannot, if Trump wins, sit back and say, oh, good, you know, we did it.
Job's just starting, folks.
Exactly.
Either way.
This is an opportunity to step things up in a way to start to turn this thing around, because you can't expect Trump to do that himself. And if we do, then we deserve a president like Hillary Clinton. We have to be there. We have to be on the front lines, not only for, you know, like we are in the election to get the candidate in. We have to be on the front lines from that moment he's inaugurated forward, pushing, you know, the values of and morals that once were. And not to people who are outside of the church, but first and foremost is to those inside the church. Because the church has lost its way, and due to the fault of the pastors and the leaders in churches, and some fault of the congregants, we need to get back on track. And if Trump wins, this will be the perfect opportunity to start doing that. Because if Clinton wins, who knows how long churches will even be around unless they, you know, adapt to, you know, the policies of the administration, like abortion and homosexual marriage being allowed into the church. And the Clinton camp has even issued statements to that effect.
Well, I have a statement to issue to the Clinton camp, with your permission, gentlemen. And interestingly, I chose a scripture for this evening that applies to candidate Trump as well as candidate Clinton. And it's short and it's sweet, and believe me, it is to the point. Folks, I'm going to read quickly from John chapter 15, verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. That would be my message to either candidate. And Doug and Joe, with your permission, I have a quick word I'd like to say to our men and women in uniform this evening.
Sure. You don't need our permission to say. We invited you on.
Well, thank you very much. To all of our men and women in uniform, I'm talking to active duty, to veterans, to our National Guardsmen, reservists, Border Patrol, Department of Homeland Security, ATF, county sheriffs, deputies, you name it. If you put on the uniform and you serve every day, I want to respectfully remind each and every one of you, first of all, thank you. We are on your team. The people that listen to this show are 110% behind the rule of law and lawful interpretation of the law. And I also want to, again, respectfully, I realize I'm talking to people who have made great accomplishments in their lives, be it chevron stripes on their sleeves or stars on their epaulets. Your oath is not to a specific leader. It matters not if that leader is a man or a woman of greatness, or if that leader is an erroneous practitioner of witchcraft. Your oath is to the Constitution of the United States of America. period. Your oath is to the document that holds this country together. And if that document is compromised to a point where it becomes intolerable to the listeners of this show and so many others like it, brothers and sisters in uniform, we are behind you 110%. And I would also remind you that every day that you wake up and put on that uniform, every day that you serve, you not only serve that crucial document, the Constitution, but you serve us. And by us, I mean everybody in your lives. You're serving your family, you're serving your church, you're serving your spouse, you're serving your kids' parents, you're serving your fellow brothers and sisters under arms. And I just want to, again, thank the military, thank all of the brave men and women in law enforcement. I personally believe that a Trump presidency will turn things around significantly, starting with the VA. You know, and I would encourage people who have not heard Trump's first 100 days laid out at his speech a week ago Saturday in Gettysburg. That is, in my humble opinion, the strongest speech for the first 100 days of a presidency that I have heard in 44 years of being alive.
Hmm. Amen. John, let me interrupt you just for one second here. We got, we received an email from a listener, someone listening live in the United Kingdom. And we're also getting this through the channels at CanadaFreePress.com, with whom we're doing this joint broadcast. The UK news in the UK is reporting that Trump is, now this is from the listener via email, and I quote, well behind, trailing. And this is also echoed through sources via CanadaFreePress.com. Europe is reporting Trump is losing terribly here in the United States.
What they base that on?
I don't know, but that's the media talking in the UK and Europe. So, John, I don't know what...
Let me pick up on that, Doug. First of all, the European Union, Western Europe, suffers the same media deception and debacle that we do here. The media is consolidated and controlled by a very small handful of people. Those men and women, primarily men, not all of them, but many of them are Luciferians. I'm talking about people like Rupert Murdoch, Sumner Redstone, Ted Turner, Oprah Winfrey. I'm talking about the head of GE, Disney, etc. We have a show coming up this Friday, Hagman listeners, and I'm really excited about this show. Friday is Veterans Day. That's this Friday, the 11th. And in hour number one, we've been blessed to spend some time with James Wesley Rawls, the New York Times bestselling author of the Patriot series. And then... hours two and three, we've got Stuart Rhodes coming on, the president of the Oath Keepers. Now, why is it so important that these gentlemen join us on Veterans Day of all days? How cool is that? Because both of them, I've spoken with both of them in the last 48 hours, they have indicated to me, Doug, Joe, and Hagman listeners, that they have specific strategies and specific game plans in place for their organizations and or the Hagman listeners for how we are to comport ourselves in a post-election environment. So, folks, Friday, the 11th, James Wesley Rawls in hour one, Stuart Rhodes, president of Oath Keepers, in hours two and three, and you can expect Doug and Joe to definitely rock and roll on that show. I know we're getting light on time, gentlemen.
John, for that. Thank you, and it's important. This Friday, Veterans Day, with Stuart Rhodes and James Wesley Rawls, a very important show, and I'm going to just thank you for mentioning that, and also for your tireless efforts in setting that up. Go ahead, sir.
Well, as I said earlier, it's a pleasure and an honor, and I want every Hagman listener to be aware of this. I take the responsibility of packaging and producing some of these shows very seriously. I pray about it, and I believe that my job, and all of our jobs, really, is to get up that morning and carry water. Pick up your bucket, carry the water where it needs to go, empty the bucket so that you may be a vessel to be used by the Holy Spirit of the living Christ, and then go back to point A, put more water in your bucket, and carry it again. That's what we do. Quick word on economics. I talked to Stephen Mencking earlier today. Folks, if you look in the Hagman archives, just in the last 30 days, we've had Stephen Mencking out of New York City, Joseph E. Meyer Gregory Mannarino, also in New York City, and then last night, Greg Hunter just brought it. So we've really covered the economics waterfront quite a bit. I wanted to tease the Hagmann listeners with this. I am building a show right now about Venezuela. I have made contact with some people who live in Venezuela. And with Doug and Joe's permission, this is still in the brainstorming phase, but I intend to bring the Venezuelan story to the Hagmann and Hagmann listeners. Why? Because we are on a collision course with Venezuela, and it's important that the listeners to this program get a first-person narrative description of what the food lines are like, how impossible it is to get gasoline. Doug, Joe, believe me when I tell you this. In Caracas, the capital of Venezuela, once the richest country in South America, mind you, little kids are passing out in class because they haven't had enough to eat. So what do we see with a Hillary presidency? Well, at first it's going to look really good. The street, Wall Street's going to love it. It's going to indicate status quo. The velocity of money will continue to flow to the top 1%, who will not reinvest it in shovel-ready jobs, will do nothing to help the middle class. We may see Hillary try to support the petrodollar and beat the last couple of breaths of life out of it, even though we could see our relationship with the Saudis deteriorating. And I believe that Hillary Clinton will even take us to war to protect the petrodollar. With a Trump win, this is from Stephen Mencken, quote, we are looking at the Brexit times 10. There will be incredible uncertainty in the markets. The velocity of money will be the opposite of what it would be with Hillary Clinton. Presumably, we will see the stock market have a temporary plummet in the Dow Jones Industrial Average, S&P, and NASDAQ. However, precious metals should go up. And I know I've only got a couple minutes left. I wanted to talk quickly about depression or anxiety that the Hagmann listeners may feel. Folks, if you feel depression or anxiety after this election, I want you to honestly ask yourself why. Ask yourself why and take it to the Lord, because that's your start point. You've got to first figure out where is this anxiety and depression coming from. Because as I mentioned at the outset of my time here this evening, your life will continue more or less with the same responsibilities, the same blessings, and the same challenges you had yesterday. But you need to be prepared physically, you need to be prepared emotionally, and you need to be prepared more important than anything else, spiritually. And the last thing I'll share with the listeners before my time is up, folks, preparation is very similar to the way governments implode. What I mean by that is when you are properly prepared, you have the knowledge in your head, then the second ring of preparation is what you carry on your body that can help you survive the given situation you're in. Your third ring of preparation is whatever in your bug-out bag, backpack, purse, etc. Your fourth ring of preparation is whatever you may have in your vehicle. And then your fifth would be your bug-out or bug-in location. So you can see that it's kind of like circles of protection around you. Governments operate much the same way. If we have a Hillary Clinton presidency, if we have a massive implosion of the economy, if we have a massive unconstitutional overreach of the military or the police state as it currently stands, remember, it's the same as those circles I just described. It's the central government, then the state governments, then the county government, your municipal government, your church body, and your family unit. And that's how your priorities need to be maintained. First of all, the federal government, then the states, then the county, then your municipality or city government, your church body, and lastly, your family, which is the single most important building block of our civilization. I know my
Amen,
time
John.
Is almost up.
Yep,
folks,
we're right there at the end of the break.
Strong.
God bless you.
God
Thank
bless
you for
you
joining
too,
us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
We'll be right back. Right after these messages, we are going into, what, our third hour of broadcasting? And we're going to be here 2 hours after we're done on Global Star, right on YouTube. Stay with us.